This is The Takeaway. I'm Noel King from NPR's Planet Money, filling in for John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. We begin this hour alongside President Trump on his first official trip overseas. This past weekend, the president was in Saudi Arabia. Today, he'll be in Israel and then on to Rome, Brussels, and Sicily. In Saudi Arabia yesterday, the president gave a speech urging Muslim nations to join in the fight against terror. In a minute, we're going to look at the financial ties that binds the president to the Saudis. But first, the visit to Israel.
Donald, Melania, welcome. A very warm welcome to Israel.
On my first trip overseas as president, I have come to this sacred and ancient land to reaffirm the unbreakable bond between the United States and the State of Israel.
That was sound from a welcoming ceremony in Tel Aviv today. The visit comes at a time when the president's vision for America's role in the region is unclear. We're joined by Ambassador Itamar Rabinovich. He served as Israeli ambassador to the United States from 1993 to 1996. He's author of Yitzhak Rabin, Soldier, Leader, Statesman. Ambassador, thank you for joining us.
With pleasure.
So this was supposed to be the easy part of President Trump's trip, but it looks increasingly like that might not be the case. The New York Times was reporting this morning that Prime Minister Netanyahu had to order some of his ministers to attend the airport welcoming ceremony because many of them were planning to skip it. What is going on there?
No. That's frivolous. The whole issue was about will there or there will not there be a handshake, and some ministers insisted that without a handshake they won't show up, and Netanyahu instructed them to show up, and at the end of the day, there was a handshake. That really is a frivolous issue compared to the real issue of substance.
All right. What is the real issue of substance on this trip?
Whether President Trump will be able to restart an Israeli-Palestinian peace process or negotiating process. That is the single most important issue.
And what do we expect in terms of the next 36 hours? What will let us know whether or not the president is making progress?
Well, first of all, he will give a speech tomorrow, a major speech, and we'll need to see what the message in the speech is going to be. There will be meetings with the Israeli leadership and with the Palestinian leadership in Bethlehem, and we will be able, probably in 24 hours or so, to figure out whether a breakthrough has been achieved. But some things have been achieved even prior to arrival. Years ago, the United States was forced to choose our Arab friends, allies, or Israel. This time, there seems to be no problem. You can go to Saudi Arabia, and you can go to Israel, and you can talk about Israel and Saudi Arabia, and about Saudi Arabia in Israel. That is a much better time from this perspective.
All right, so that is a positive thing as far as you're concerned.
Exactly.
What would you like the message in the president's speech to be tomorrow? What would Israel like the message of that speech to be?
You know, beyond the familiar niceties and phrases that have been uttered so many times, Israelis would like to know how Israel fits into a larger vision for the Middle East. You know, nowadays, you can announce a huge arms sales to Saudi Arabia without Israel feeling that this is a threat.
Which the president did yesterday in Riyadh.
But the whole new tenor of American policy, what is to be expected with regard to Syria that is of great interest to Israel? And of course, what is the president's vision of an Israeli-Palestinian peace? He said many times during the campaign and since having been elected that this is the ultimate deal, the one he would like to make. Some Israelis, particularly on the right wing, are afraid that deals that are based on 50-50 compromises will not be favorable to them. So there is a great deal of curiosity, hopes, I would say, by center-left, and anxiety by the right wing.
President Trump, as you note, has called this the ultimate deal. He prides himself on making deals. But a peace agreement between Israelis and Palestinians has confounded generations of U.S. leaders. Does President Trump, in your view, have an edge? Does he have something going for him here? that others didn't?
Well, what he has is, first of all, he's unconventional, he's new, and sometimes where the conventional has not worked for decades, the unconventional might work. Secondly, his temperament is by now well known here and in the region, and I don't think people or leaders want to antagonize him. That is an advantage. The question mark is, or two question marks is, one, whether his domestic problems will not overshadow his conduct of foreign policy, and secondly, whether he will have the perseverance, the patience to invest beyond effecting an initial breakthrough and then moving on. If it's going to happen, it will require sustained dedication.
Last question for you. We had news last week that President Trump divulged classified intelligence information to Russia that likely came from an Israeli source. Do you expect any tension over that during this visit?
No. First of all, this is a speculation. It's not been certified. And secondly, you know, among friends, slips and accidents happen. The relationship is much too precious for Israelis and also for Americans to let such an event, if it indeed happened, to cloud what could be a historic visit.
All right. Spoken like a diplomat. Ambassador Itamar Rabinovich served as Israeli ambassador to the U.S. from 1993 to 1996. He's author of Yitzhak Rabin, Soldier, Leader, Statesman. Sir, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.